Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another Big Gay Date. I am Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeens.
And tonight we are going to be catching up on possibly, I think undisputably, the greatest action film of all time. So, just like John McClane, kick off your shoes and join us as we watch the 1988 John McTiernan Christmas classic, Die Hard.
This movie's amazing, bro.
I don't think I can shit on it, honestly.
No, not at all.
I'm just here for a good time now.
It is a really good movie.
I have no problems whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's nice to actually watch a film where I have no qualms with whatsoever.
I just watched Con Air the other day, and I shit on Nicolas Cage every chance I can possibly get. But Con Air...
It's a great film.
Such a good movie.
I fucking love it. It's such a fun ride.
And all the other really good actors that have nothing but bit parts.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
it's a really
God.
Good ensemble cast in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, that's foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. God, don't you just hate it when all you want to do is just... sit on the plane.
When you look at the person next to you and go, listen, I'd really appreciate it if you just shut the fuck up.
Such a cocky man. Did you ever watch him in, because you're like 1,000 years old, did you ever watch like Moonlighting or anything?
Yeah, bro.
I've never seen that show, I gotta say.
Oh my God. Yeah, Moonlighting was good.
Hudson Hawk?
Hudson Hawk, yeah, with the side by side with the musical numbers and shit.
Did you ever watch Bruno the Kid?
No.
Bruno the Kid is it's a cartoon. Where he does the voice of this kid called Bruno, who's like, I don't know, 8 years old or something. But he's like a technological genius or something. So he has somehow kind of, he's scammed his way into being a spy. Because any time that like the big government agency that he works for, any time they talk to him, he's got this computer generated avatar does all the talking for him, and the avatar of course looks like Bruce Willis. So this government thinks they're working with this, you know, grizzled action hero, all-American kind of spy. Meanwhile, it's this 8-year-old kid going around just saving the world and shit.
I gotta watch that. Bruno the Kid?
Bruno the Kid, yeah. Like, because, you know, he had his whole musical career as Bruno, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was like, that's Bruce Willis. We fucking know it.
Wasn't he... He was also the voice of the baby in Look Who's Talking, right?
Yes.
And Look Who's Talking Too.
I believe so, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this guy.
He's got good comedy chops.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Willis is the shit, man. I don't care what anybody says. Bruce Willis is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean...
Bro.
Try... I've heard things.
Shit on something, and I will take the shit right off. What do we got?
We'll come back. We'll cycle around back to that again in a second. But he's definitely got more. He's got better comedy timing than Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, or like, you know, the rest of those action heroes of that time.
Bro, I saw Hudson Hawk. I saw what that man can do with a piece of shit for a script.
Oh, hi, children.
Who's our Bruce Willis now, I guess? Like Dwayne Johnson?
No, our Bruce Willis is still Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis of the 21st century, though.
But Dwayne Johnson has taken... Dwayne Johnson has filled the void that, like, Schwarzenegger and Stallone had. They always had, like, the bodybuilding, like, action star. Bruce Willis was always the everyman. He was never
dude. No, I get that.
He didn't walk into the room and you were intimidated. He was the guy that, like, shit would happen and he's the only one not panicking. And that's when you know that's the guy you need to listen to.
But just in terms of Dwayne Johnson's comedy chops as well, I mean, he can deliver a punchline... A lot better, a lot more casual. He's got great comedy timing compared to like Arnold Schwarzenegger or, you know, those other, and I'm trying to think of like big action heroes now, Jason Statham and things like that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Statue of David that occasionally talks.
Yeah.
Like However, have you seen Schwarzenegger's Pumping Iron documentary from back in the day?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, old documentary when young Schwarzenegger back, like Mr. Universe, smoking weed on camera.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how when there's this feeling, this feeling you get when you're working out, and how it makes him feel like he's coming, and how...
I've seen that clip, yeah.
And I'm coming at home. I'm coming all the time. And oh, my God. Holy shit. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can talk about how you come everywhere anytime you want because it's fucking hysterical. Jay McClane. Okay, I really like this limo driver.
Yeah. This whole film is full of some great side characters.
Mm-hmm. He seems like the limo driver where, like, if he picked you up, like, on the way to the hotel, if you were looking for, like, hookers or, like, drugs, you could say something and he would have it.
Yeah, he'd know.
Absolutely.
And he wouldn't tell nobody.
Nope, absolutely. He'd hit a little button, a little screen would come down, and instead of champagne and glasses, you'd have a bunch of paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to charge you like a mini bar. Which really isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
Hot to trot.
So, this was one of the first action films where the action hero actually ends up coming out of it pretty fucking damaged. And he's, like you say, he is... Because this was actually originally, like, they were looking for Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they settle on Bruce Willis, and it works so well because, yeah, he gets fucked up in this film.
Yeah, and also because of his like demeanor, he's able to escape notice.
Yeah,
when it matters in the beginning.
Yeah,
you know?
He kind of blends into the background. No one's really.
If you would have cast Schwarzenegger, Stallone, number one, that wouldn't have been believable, and it would have been a totally different movie.
Yeah, because as soon as they walk in, like they are gonna take notice of that guy as a potential obstacle in what they have planned. Whereas he's any guy.
Yeah.
He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So that building is Nakatomi Plaza. That's actually, that was what Fox headquarters was building at the time. It wasn't actually finished. 20th Century Fox had a new headquarter building down in L.A. Jan de Bont, director of photography, he directed the second Die Hard and also Speed and Twister. Yeah, both
Jan de Bont's all about that DP.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You would think that 20th Century Fox would be, they would be filming in their own building to kind of save money. No, they charge themselves rent to film in there.
I mean, I'm sure there's got to be some tax incentives.
I guess, yeah, there's probably, there must be a reason
they
for
had
doing
to
it.
Have done that yeah. to game the system somehow.
Yeah, yeah. But and then yeah they that because it was their building they were allowed to blow up a couple of floors of it because this is 1998 so this is pre CGI and everything so when you see the explosions later on in the building a lot of that is real fire going off on a couple of floors where there's like nothing built in there.
Yeah.
There's a couple like he's running around some floors where it's clearly still under construction and that is because the building itself was under construction.
Hey, this is great. It looks like a set. Let's just use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And fuck it. We can blow it up and we're not really going to break anything because yeah. we haven't built anything.
Who the fuck's going to tell me what I can and can't blow up in my own damn building? Argyle, like the sock. Now, that hip-hop song that he was just listening to, all I saw was Santa something and then a stack of G's or something. I want to know what that song was.
Yeah, let's Spotify that.
Because that should be the Christmas song. Why is that not on the radio?
That should be the song that plays in every Die Hard film, and not like Ode to Joy or anything.
Yeah.
We should have that pop up every now and again.
The one at the airport. Was that at Christmas or was it just snowing?
No, it was Christmas.
Are they all Christmas?
Yeah. No,
the first two were.
Just the first two. Like, the only common thread in each of the movies is the fact that it has John McClane. The first two, though, they were Christmas movies. They're all set at Christmas. The third one, I forget. It's not Christmas. It's just...
New York?
It's just New York in the city.
Is that the Samuel L. Jackson one?
Yes.
Because in the one after that was the one with Justin Long?
Yes, which is in L.A. And then the fifth one is in Russia. Ugh, the less said about that one, the better. But yeah, the common thread is just John McClane, and I think Ode to Joy is buried into the music in some places every time as well.
Now, I know you're going to shit on the Russia one, and I'll shit on the movie for you, but honestly, the greatest part of that movie was Bruce Willis. So Bruce Willis is still doing his job, so shit away.
The when we A Good Day to Die Hard, you mean?
Yes.
It's a bad all-round film, and it's actually the first film that was based on their original script, which is telling. Like, the story behind this one is this is actually based, we saw it here, based on a novel by Roderick Thorpe. It's this novel called Nothing Lasts Forever. And it's a sequel to his novel called The Detective, which was already a film with Frank Sinatra. Contractually, Frank Sinatra had to be offered this role because they were making a sequel. So we could have had Frank Sinatra as John McClane running around like,
welcome
to the party, pal.
And Frank was old at that point.
He was too old, so he died. He didn't die. Sorry, he bowed out of... he took himself out of consideration because he didn't want to be the old guy running around trying to play cowboy or anything. Of course, this is before Liam Neeson showed that you can do it and do it well in Taken.
Yeah, bro. Some old dudes are just really good at being old.
Yeah. So then there was a story that this was going to be, because this is really faithful to that book. There was a story that it was actually going to be, the script was based off of a sequel to Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not true. Not true at all. Like, very recently, one of the guys, the writers, came out and said, no, this story's been around for like 30 years. That's not true at all.
Why would you ever want to make a sequel to fucking Commando?
Well, if it was going to end up like this, you could see why. But I don't know what the... There was a slim story where Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from Commando was hired as security for a, like, private security for a building, and then terrorists try and take over the building or something. So some people kind of, yeah, put two and two together, but that is categorically not true. It's based purely on the book, which is pretty faithful in that regard. Different character names and everything, but also, yeah, all set in a building. A lot of similar kind of set pieces and main action points in there. Die Hard 2 was also based on something. I can't remember what it's based on, but it was also an existing script that got retooled. Die Hard 3 was based on a script for a new Lethal Weapon movie, which is why you've got the kind of the buddy comedy aspect to it with Samuel L. Jackson. Die Hard 4, Live 3 or Die Hard was based on a spec script called WW3.com, or there was an article, something about Call to Arms, of what would happen if somebody hacked into our infrastructure and just kind of, because we're all, you know, it was one of those like fearmonger pieces around the early 2000s, you know, when we got so heavy into tech and
when we assumed that you could hack everything like you can in Watch Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Cybersecurity and everything was a big thing. So there was a story in like Wired or something that kind of formed the basis for what that turned into. A Good Day to Die Hard is the only one where they specifically just started fresh writing a Die Hard script. And I don't know if it's coincidence, but in my opinion, it's fucking dreadful. I cannot find any redeeming part of that of that movie at all.
I didn't like the son or the boy or whatever the
fuck. Yeah, and he's like, what the fuck? He's in Russia, I forget why, and then he's fucking walking down the street, his son's in the middle of robbing a bank or something, driving a truck, and he almost hits John McClane. And John McClane's like, what the fuck are you doing here, kind of thing. And then he starts chasing after him because he sees he's in trouble, steals a dump truck or something, or an 18-wheeler, drives it through a barrier on a highway to jump down to another highway. Just fucking, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely mental. I can't get on board with it at all. And John McClane even looks bored while he's making it. Like, he doesn't look like he wants to be there, honestly.
Well,
he,
Bruce Willis has seen some shit, man.
Yeah, but when you watch this movie, and even up to Die Hard 3, Die Hard 4, he's starting to get a little, like, you can tell he's getting kind of bored. He's phoning it in, you know. Yeah. But here, like, when he's delivering his deadpan lines, like, he's got great comedy timing. If you look in A Good Day to Die Hard, and honestly a lot of Bruce Willis stuff recently, things like The Expendables 3 and everything, he doesn't look like he wants to be there. He just looks like he's there, like he wants to go home, but he has to stay there because he's getting paid to say shit that he doesn't understand. you know?
yeah.
So, it's, I mean, yes, Bruce Willis is the best part of A Good Day to Die Hard, but that is why we're bragging about that.
Oh, God. Look at that hairy chest.
My God.
Don't you just want to cuddle up in it? Wouldn't it make you feel safe?
Mm-hmm.
Run your fingers through there, get them all caught in the knots.
God, they should make like a Bruce Willis body pillow.
My God, as long as it's fuzzy.
Yeah, it's just fuzzy right in the center there.
Yeah, bro, yeah. Although, could we do a Brooke Shields eyebrow pillow as well? Maybe a Julia Roberts armpit pillow?
I was talking for a while there. What have I missed? Anything? This is just set up, right? So we've met his ex-wife. We understand there's some conflict, but they still feel things for each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, they're still married.
Yes, that's true. This is just before he married Demi Moore, right?
Mm-hmm. This might be one of the reasons that he married Demi Moore. He was acting in this scene, and he's like, let me never do this.
Speaking of hair.
Holy shit.
We don't want a Demi Moore body pillow.
No, not at all. Not at all. Unless it's current Demi Moore, because Demi Moore is old, and she's still hot as shit, but now all of her hair's falling out.
Oh, okay.
So it's pleasant. It's totally pleasant. She's got to save money on waxing. What was that one stripper movie she was in?
Striptease.
Striptease, yeah, there we go. No shit. and then they got divorced, and then she got with Ashton Kutcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Ashton Kutcher got with...
everyone.
Yeah, but now he's with Mila Kunis.
Yes.
Damn it. I was holding out.
Did you want to be with Ashton Kutcher?
No, I was holding out for that Mila, yo. I was holding out for that shit. Ain't nobody want to be with Ashton Kutcher except for her. I'd like to know what he's holding over her. Because she's way too hot. I saw fucking Black Swan. Mm. That scene will live on my libido forever and ever and ever.
Keep that locked away in the bank. For those cold December nights.
I mean, lukewarm December. We do live in Florida. Mm.
So none of these guys, obviously not this guy, but all these guys who are supposedly Eastern European, none of them speak German. And that guy was stricken by rigor mortis like immediately. Did you see?
It has a really good plot, though.
It's a novel twist. Like, they are just bank robbers, but they're making it look like they're terrorists.
It feels like we have now seen this premise numerous times.
We absolutely have.
But at this point...
this is when it was at its, like, its purest, unfiltered, you know...
this is what made that premise popular.
Form. Yeah. Die Hard is now shorthand for a good action movie.
Uh-huh.
We hear, you know, every major action movie of the last 20, 30 years you can describe as Die Hard something. Die Hard on a plane, Die Hard on a mountain with cliffhanger.
Now, all those dudes just came walking out of that box truck. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, that box truck was fucking hauling balls around those curves. Just, what were they all doing? Were they all standing to the side, hanging onto the wood slats on the wall?
It's like, everybody grab a buddy. So, Alan Rickman strolling in here. This is Alan Rickman's first movie role.
First
movie. Up until this, he was on British TV and British theater.
How many years after was he like Sheriff of Nottingham? For Robin Hood. That was early 90s,
like 93
right?
or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wow. But this was his first movie role. And holy shit, way to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Like, he is...
fantastic. He's one of the best movie villains of like that decade.
Absolutely. And he is having, you can tell he's having so much fun as well.
Honestly, fuck it. I'd even include him up until like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
He might be one of the best movie villains that we had up until like the millennium.
You know, we do this thing called March Movie Madness, where we take like 32 or 64 movies around a loose theme, and we get a bunch of friends around and get some drinks, and we just argue and argue about which one is best. We pair them off and pair them off until eventually we whittle it down to one, which is like the best action movie or the best horror movie or something. We haven't done the best movie villains yet. I would like to see kind of how that ends up.
Yeah.
There's some timeless villains that you can...
There's some good ones, yeah.
I'd like to see how Hans Gruber would stack up next to Darth Vader if you really kind of... If you really think about it and really compare them, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like Darth Vader is such a well-known movie villain, but realistically, in the original trilogy, he was slow Vader.
Yeah, he wasn't even.
Yeah, he's not even scary Vader.
You don't ever really see him badass. I mean, well, you know, he chokes people in Empire Strikes Back and everything, but still, like, when you compare who is the baddest villain, I'd think Hans Gruber would edge him out, because he's just way more kind of calculating and stuff, you know. And then, you know, throw in the Joker there from Dark Knight. That would be a good contest to do. Mm-hmm.
It's like Michael Myers is scary, but he doesn't say enough to even be in the running for, you know, like characters like that just wouldn't work.
Yeah, there are so many more villains that I'd be more like terrified of. Like, if there's two people standing in front of me, Michael Myers and... almost any other horror villain, I'd be more terrified of them. Freddy or something, I would say. Freddy, because just the shit he would say would just... Maybe if he's not so scary because he's get goofy, but it would unnerve you, you know? Uh-huh. Whereas Michael Myers, yeah, you could have a mannequin standing there for all you know.
You know who looks fucking scary, but he wouldn't qualify because he's not really a villain? He's just misunderstood?
Gone.
King Kong, bro. In the
Yeah, I suppose.
At Rogue One tonight, I saw the new trailer for that, and I haven't seen it yet. Longer, more footage than like I'd seen on the internet.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, bro. Holy fuck. He's frightening. Like, way more footage in the theater trailer.
Sure.
Than they've been showing, like, on YouTube, you know? And
get you into that theater, man.
Holy shit. Yeah, I did not think I would be going to Kong opening night. I will be going.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by that one. It's got a good cast.
It'll be better than the Peter Jackson one. And I like that it's pretty much current day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of nice. And Sam Jackson.
Absolutely.
As long as he says motherfucker somewhere in that movie, I'm satisfied.
Is it PG-13? I think you get one.
Yeah,
save it for Sam Jackson.
Yeah. You gave the F bomb to Wolverine in that one movie.
Yeah, you can say it once.
Yeah.
If they're small, they'll do that. Now
How'd that girl facing the elevator not notice all the people are
dead? Yeah. I've never worked in an office environment like this. Have you ever been to kind of like a holiday party or anything?
I mean, I've been to other people's holiday, like
holiday
office
parties where, you know, people are fucking doing cocaine and like fucking.
Oh, yeah, I've totally been to those kind of holidays. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, there's people fucking in one of the offices or shit over here. And pulls them out, right?
Taking copying their dick on the, like, on the copy machine. Yeah. Titties!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never, like, never been to one, never had an office party, anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not even, and that's before the terrorists turn up.
Yeah. I'm glad those terrorists got to take a peek at some titties, though. They looked quite happy about that.
Those are the last titties they're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now,
would you... Okay, in this situation, you see shit happening like this. Do you run up or down? It always seems like in a horror movie, people run upstairs.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. If in a horror movie, you should be running down and out.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like in a story like this, when you're like going into combat, you want like the best possible like perspective that you can. So I would assume go up.
Okay.
You know? Well, and also...
Take the high ground, you mean?
Yeah, take the high ground. And also, he's not trying... He's not a bitch. He's not trying to run. He's trying to make a plan and get the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, I mean, if you go up, they can only come from one direction. Like, you don't know if there's reinforcements coming or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he made clear he's still married, mm-hmm. so he's not trying to, like, peace out and leave her.
Yeah.
You know, like, horror movies where, like, the girl just up and leaves, like, siblings, yeah. boyfriends, peace.
Yeah.
And then she falls for no reason. I always, like, cheer when I'm watching a horror movie and a dude's running,
mm-hmm.
and he falls, like, and didn't trip on shit. Like, thank God, you're breaking the mold.
You know what I'm excited for now that we have Tom Cruise in a horror movie?
Oh, yeah.
In The Mummy.
Uh-huh.
Tom Cruise loves to run.
Yeah, and we haven't had an A-lister in a horror movie in
I've never
ever.
Seen Tom Cruise trip while running, but it's a horror movie, so... What's going to win out? Convention? Tradition? Or Tom Cruise's star running power?
Yeah. Now, you've watched the trailer for that, right?
Yeah,
you saw
yeah.
the plane crash and then wake up in the body bag? I was watching an interview with the director, and he was talking about filming that scene. Like, we've never heard Tom Cruise yell in fright. We've never heard him yell like that, you know?
That's true, actually. Wow.
Yeah, and just by you're used to Tom Cruise saving the day, and so in the first like 10 minutes of the movie, that plane goes down and Tom Cruise dies, and then wakes up. Now his leading man save the day status does not matter anymore.
Hmm.
You know, it's
very true.
It just kind of puts that A-lister in a different. And honestly, we haven't had an A-lister in a real horror movie in years. And we haven't had Universal throw this much money at something that wasn't a Fast and the Furious movie in a decade.
Yeah. I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah.
It's good times. Like, next year is going to be good for movies.
Yeah. And, I mean, Brendan Fraser lost it, so we can't actually do, like, The Mummy that we want. So we'll just settle with this one.
Yeah.
God, he's so intimidating. It was a really good plan. My question is, Hans Gruber, why the fuck is your brother not on your team?
Ooh.
Right? His brother comes back in a later movie for, like, fucking revenge. Okay, great. But if this was the awesome plan that you envisioned
maybe
was...
Maybe if you were there.
Yeah, maybe
he'd
if you
still
were,
be alive.
Yeah! Punk bitches.
Because this is John McClane's first outing. So, I mean, after doing this twice, he's kind of prepared to take on the Riddler. But the first time, if you had a guy fucking planting clues and shit, like, along the way, fucking with you of mind games.
Yeah.
Might throw you off enough, and they could... That's a good point, man. I didn't think about that. Don't shit on Die Hard.
Yeah, that's just... He should be there. He should not be a catalyst for a later movie. Like, he don't hate John McClane. You need to be fucking guilty because you weren't there when you need to feel terrible because you weren't there when your brother needed you most. But look at him. He's in his element right now. He's not thinking about his little brother. Fuck my little brother. My little brother can suck on it. I'm making money.
Okay, I think it's safe in here. What? Just such good dialogue. He's just one of those villains that just just oozes confidence.
Uh-huh. You know? And like a certain level of class.
Yeah.
I mean, they're murdering the fuck out of people, but he's kind of polite about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, if there's any other kind of villain like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all business, almost, you know?
Yeah, honestly, I can't think of a villain that has these same...
That's so kind of, like, just methodical and clinical about this sort of thing.
Like. Yeah, he has these some really big, like, character choices,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I can't really think of another movie villain that has like all these in one character. I just can't.
They're all kind of a little more over the top, or they take like a pleasure in the violence and the you know, the torture of things possibly. But he's kind of making it clear. He's like, I just want the money. Mm-hmm. And this is why, and he's a good, he'd make an excellent negotiator.
Uh-huh.
He's like, this is what I want. This is why you should give it to me.
You want
I'm giving
money.
You every opportunity to make this easy, you know?
Yeah. What kind of terrorist are you? And then Gruber starts giggling, who said we were terrorists? Because he's thinking, fuck yeah, plan's working.
Yeah, yeah. Except now he's just giving it away. He's tipped the gaff.
Uh-huh.
So now... He's got an answer for everything. My God.
Yeah.
So good. With a little bit of New Jersey mobster thrown in.
Yeah.
This is a very nice building you have here. It'd be a shame if something was to happen to it. So this shot here, where you get shot in the head, I'm racking my brain to think how they did this. Aside from, because it does look like you have to really kind of freeze frame it. I saw a GIF posted recently. Like the guy winces when the explosion goes off, so I think it's a real guy.
Oh, with just a squib on the back of his head?
Yeah, which sounds really fucking dangerous, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, a fake scalp on the back of his head and shit.
Yeah, but the I was under the impression that whenever you have, like, back of head things, it's not the same explosive squib that you would put in, like, your costume for a gunshot. It's more a pneumatic squib, so it's, like, a air pressure.
Okay.
In which case, yeah, he still has a sensation. He'll still, like, jolt at the right moment. But you're not setting off a firecracker on the back of your head.
That is an excellent point. Now, okay, so in your best estimate, when you take a... When you see, like, a gunshot to the front or something, would that also be... Would that be...
Well, it all depends. If it's... okay.
Here's why I asked, because when I was in high school over in the UK, my friend made a short film. We all had to make short films in our class and everything. And he made, like, one about a bank robbery. And there was a scene where somebody gets shot, and he spent some big money. This is, like, his big shot to actually see somebody get shot in the chest with blood and everything, and not have it just be a trick of editing or stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually did set up some explosives on somebody's chest. He had like a plastic or ceramic plate or something to kind of protect them, and then loaded the explosives into like a little cap, almost like a little metal cap.
Yeah.
And then ran wires down their legs and shit like that, and then just timed it right and fucking set off an explosive. I wish we thought about using pneumatic pressure, because that would have been a lot fucking safer than what happened.
Yeah, well, nowadays with the little CO2 cartridges and shit, there's like a lot of companies that's just what they do. They do like pneumatic squibs.
Oh, sure. No, I get that, you know, technology makes things easier to do and everything, but remember, this is 1988.
There was one back in the day.
Right.
I forget what horror movie it was. It was one of the creep shows, I think. Mm-hmm. One of the... in the original Creepshow, one of the stories, dude kills his wife, and they knew when he shot her bullet through the forehead, pneumatic on the back of her on the back of her scalp, so hair and blood sprays out the back. Uh-huh. But the bullet hole on her forehead, what they did was they did a bullet hole in makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they took a button and they covered said bullet hole with a button, connected that button to fishing line, and then put makeup over the button so it was flesh color. So at the same time that the pneumatic happened, a dude off camera yanks his fishing line, and the button
get both together. That's
for a movie in the 70s, that shit's impressive.
Yeah, that's ingenuity right there. I'm always impressed when like physical stuff like that can be done, because if you watch the newer Die Hards, particularly A Good Day to Die Hard, it's all CG. It's all CG headshots and stuff. It's very visceral headshots. Like, heads are fucking almost exploding.
It's so easy to use guns that just move and then add muzzle flash after the fact and add all your blood splatter after the fact. Like, it's so easy now.
Like, back here, these guns, you'll see big muzzle flashes when they're shooting them. They actually kind of overloaded the blanks with powder to make them flash bigger to give it that big action feel. They were super fucking loud, so that's why like Bruce Willis actually goes deaf at one point. Did we see the shot? No, we didn't see it yet, did we, where he kind of crawls under the table and shoots the guy? Or did we have that already? Did we just miss that? I don't know.
Might have,
because I thought it happened in that, yeah, I think it happened actually in that in that room they were just in, like the boardroom, where he kind of crawls under the table and then shoots up. The gun's right next to his fucking face, and he's shooting, and he is screaming. It's partly because it's so fucking loud, and he's going deaf. Also, it's the reason why you cut away from Hans Gruber whenever he fires a gun, because Alan Rickman could not help but wince at the sound, because it was so loud. Because he may play one of the most badass people, but he's still British. And we don't have your guns. So
absolutely.
We're not quite used to it. He's still a delicate British flower.
I don't know, bro. I watched a video the other day of this retired old British dude that was like SAS in like World War II and shit, back when that was like the shit, and they were like getting their special forces like under wraps. And this old looks like he could be your fucking grandpa in any little old village in the UK. He's wearing his little beret, and he's talking about how, number one, knives are silent, so always carry a knife. Number two, and then he's showing you how to, like, kill people. And, like, how if you stab them here between these ribs, if you cover, you never cover their mouth and slit their throat from behind, because that looks good in movies, but in real life, you'll just cut your wrist. Instead, you cover their mouth, and then you reach around with your knife, and you stab upwards through their rib cage. And to hear this little old British dude say that and say, if you cover their mouth right, you'll hear the of air out of,
like,
the knife
wound. Oh, man.
Oh, my. Yeah, bro.
Did you ever see the interview with Christopher Lee about how he was talking about... Because he knows...
He was James Bond, basically.
Christopher Lee?
Yeah.
He's like... He was describing what it sounds like to stab a man. Like, the sound it makes and everything. And that's like, damn, Chris. You're scaring, Chris.
Yeah, it's like, you've done a lot of crazy movies. If I could have coffee with Christopher Lee,
he's passed away now.
I know. But I would not.
That would be fucking scary.
I would not give two shits to ask him about any of the movies that he was in.
No,
I want to know
about
his career.
Ask him about when he served in the war and shit. Like, the stuff he saw there, because that sounds way more intense.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the little old, speaking of little old British men, like little beanies and shit, like wrapped up warm, firing their guns, makes me think of Hot Fuzz.
yeah. But for real, the practicals in this are so and speaking of practical effects, at the goddamn Star Wars movie tonight.
Because you went to go see Rogue One today.
Yeah, I went to go see Rogue One today.
It's opening night.
It got released. And they've been making such a big deal about going back to, like, puppets and, like, practical effects.
Yeah, building full-size X-Wings and shit, I saw.
Yeah, okay, obviously a lot of CG on any space battles.
They did use real models, though, apparently. They did build real models and do some tricks like that.
But as far as characters go, more obvious CG in environments and characters that are either dead or really old currently but weren't in the original trilogy. As far as the aliens go, as far as it looked, they were all practical effects.
That's pretty cool.
And you could tell.
Obviously, I know Alan Tudyk's droid is a CG creation and everything. But
yeah, I mean, the ankles are a little too narrow to put somebody in costume. Yeah. But, like, All the organic creatures, all the aliens looked really practical. The only obvious CG on organic creatures was people that have passed away and should still be in the franchise.
Because there's some cool tricks you're talking about where it's similar to in Civil War, where you got Robert Downey Jr. being euthanized, I guess, is the phrase.
There is someone euthanized in this. Yeah.
That's the right use of the word, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm coining it now.
I'm going to get on Marvel fucking dictionary.
Yeah, Marvel fucking kills that with Ant-Man and then Civil War, where they've taken actors that you know what they looked like 30 years ago and actually de-age them to that point. Rogue One has a scene where you take an actor who's passed away but do same kind of effect to make mm-hmm. them kind of familiar to what they looked like back in A New Hope, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, and you... As Carrie Fisher put it, they only hire part of you.
Yeah. I mean, if Marvel can fucking de-age those characters, it won't be long before we'll have new Star Wars movies set between Empire and Jedi, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, all you need is good voice actors and really good dudes on computers.
Absolutely.
It's all you need.
We're a decade away from, Star Wars stories, but the TV show. Like, you could be able to, you could do it so easily. You could have the weekly adventures of Luke, Leia, and Han.
Yo.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Holy
like
shit.
Like a live action show, but the three main leads are all just computer generated faces on younger actors.
Bro. I'd watch it.
I would have to check it out. Like, I'm always kind of apprehensive about that sort of stuff, but it's getting to the point now where it's so believable.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the Han Solo movie that they're doing.
Yeah,
but I am kind of jazzed about Donald Glover being Lando.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that.
I'm fine with that.
I'm not too on board with their casting for young Han, but I'll give him a chance because Disney has not fucked up the property yet, and they're two movies in.
Mm-hmm. 2 for 2 right now. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, bro, for real. They own Star Wars, fucking Marvel, and Pixar. It is, short of Harry Potter movies, they own the movie-going industry.
For the next 20 years.
At least.
Yeah.
And if you keep pumping out good Star Wars movie, our kids will be taking their kids to go see Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. All right, our shots for tonight. Oh shit! Because hey. Oh god, I got to pick a point in the next 30 minutes that we're gonna do our shot for the movie today. It is D'Amore Sambuca. You had Sambuca?
I feel like I've had it with you.
That sounds like something I would do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What does it taste like?
It's like licorice. Like black licorice.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can do that.
I can do 2 and then no more. So don't make me go overboard on this. Like sometimes if we have a drink that's really good at the end of the podcast, I'll be like, let's keep drinking. Next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm waking up on the toilet with the lights off, wondering where the hell my evening went. I cannot do that tonight. So we're going to do 2 shots. What is your favorite part of this movie?
I gotta say when he does his costume change.
Bruce
Willis.
How soon in is that? Or how far in? Where? What does that happen around? Remind me.
Once he is right now wearing a white wife beater and has no clothes
on
him.
So when he's climbing through the
when he comes out of the vents.
Okay.
His costume will have changed.
Right. Okay. That works.
They're all handling this very, very well for people that are going through
presumably
what they're going
their
through.
First experience with a terrorist taking over the building.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you don't know it's terrorists, it's people with guns killing people. And at this point in time, Americans didn't really have a frame of reference.
No.
On shit like that. Yeah. Sadly, we do now and know how people really react in real life, which is nowhere near as relaxed, you know, like at all.
Being really calm right now, kind of explaining all the, he's conveying, I mean, he's a cop, so he knows the relevant information he needs to convey to
somebody. He knows what's up. But all these other people, nobody's panicking, nobody's trampling other people.
Yeah. It's true.
This needs to be required watching for everyone.
Yeah.
If they're after money, just shut the fuck up, give them money, that's replaceable.
Yeah. I love that line. No fucking shit do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza. That is, this movie is so full of good catchphrases and good lines. Especially compared to, like, you know, the cheesy lines from Arnold Schwarzenegger in, like, Commando and all that sort of stuff. The lines you remember from this movie, and again, it's all down to kind of Bruce Willis's timing. It's so, so good.
And now they heard guns. Yeah.
Oh, must be serious.
Yeah, maybe you should shut the fuck up and send the cops. drive-by in L.A., that's the wrong kind of drive-by, lady.
No black and white, but just... So, what movie were we watching? I think we were watching Ghostbusters, and you brought up this guy, because he plays the cop in Ghostbusters
and
as
he
well.
Was the cop father in Family Matters.
Yeah, that's
Carl
what you
Winslow.
Always brought up. Yeah.
He is fucking... I like to think that his character in this, his character in Ghostbusters, and his character on Family Matters... Yeah, the dude on Family Matters has just seen some shit. That's why he's never down to deal with Steve Urkel's ass.
I mean, he shot a kid, so yeah. Of course he's seen some shit.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And honestly, just assuming that they're all linked makes it way more fun.
Okay. Like a little shared universe going on.
Yeah.
All those movies are all about this one guy.
Yeah.
Man, look how cheap gas was back in the 80s.
Holy shit.
74 cents a gallon.
Well, 74 and 9/10. Oh, that's how they get you to go to them and not the place across the street.
Except they all do it, so.
A gas station over by where I live, it's fucking, I forget what the pennies are, but it's something in 9/10 cents, and the gas station across the street is the same price, but 8/10. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It's the same price.
Unless you're buying like 1,000 gallons, you're not going to see any fucking difference.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, I can't deal with stupidity, but when it's put on signs like that, I just get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
There's also a Haji Mart. Okay, that sounds very vaguely racist. There is a grocery store that is a one-off grocery store and not like a full chain over by my house. Or I'm sorry, there was up until like a year ago, and then they burnt it down for insurance money. But... before then, it was so shitty. You'd go into their meat section and all their meat was gray. If you peeled up the price tag, you could see the Gooding's price tag that was less and from like a week before.
Hiding the expiration date or something.
Yeah, but their sign was always advertising the fact that they had fresh fruit, like grapes and plams, because the sign was too little to fit the full word on there, so you just eliminate vowels. How do you... Grabs and plams.
So they conveyed like the way a 14-year-old girl conveys with her friends to go to the mall or something, just text.
Yeah. How are you going to eliminate the vowel in the first word and then just spell the second one fucking wrong? Grabs.
Damn,
take out
correct.
The vowel. I mean, does it matter which one? Really?
No, just the vowel.
There's an A in there. Okay, does it matter where it goes, or can it just go anywhere, seeing as how it's silent? Right. Oh!
So I think he's about to jump into the vent here, so I'll start getting our shots ready. Again, do you more Sambuca? And this shit is dangerous. Last time I drank Sambuca was after our friend's wedding, when Carlo came back, and we had a couple of shots of this. I woke up the next morning, the bottle was gone, and so was my evening.
Now wait, the bottle was empty or the bottle was fucking gone?
No, the bottle was empty.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, on the side like that. And my wife had the most disapproving look on her face. Because Sambuca may erase my evening, but it does not erase hers because she doesn't drink it.
Oh, why not? Does she just not like the taste of licorice?
Yeah, it's too... Yeah, licorice is just not...
I feel like people that don't like Jaeger also would not like this, right?
She likes Jaeger, but she likes it in Jaeger bombs.
Does she also like it really cold?
I guess.
Does it have to be?
I chilled it for... We did the actually Jaeger was our shot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, did we mention this? Yeah, last week we did this with the Home Alone podcast. So, because it's December, I'm doing something called Advent Mini Bar, which is where every single day of December, from the 1st to the 24th, I take a different shot of alcohol.
And then on New Year's, we do heroin.
Just like advent calendars you got as a kid.
Is this chocolate? No, it's definitely not old chocolate. It's definitely heroin.
Maybe take some tabs or something later on. I don't know. Different shot of different liquor every single day. And it's just like, you'd open up the door of an advent calendar, you'd have a little chocolate, you'd have a little picture or something of a different Christmas icon. It's like that, but it's more fun for adults. So we are now the 15th. Oh, there he goes. That was not supposed to happen. You remember? You read that?
No.
That is actually, that's a fuck up on the stuntman's part, and they just kind of edited it together. Like, he was supposed to catch it, and it'd be like, ooh, just. But no, he missed it and fell. And then he just edited it together with another shot of him catching,
Wow.
Like, I guess that, like, he was supposed to catch it and then go straight to that shot just there.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. Like, again, it just adds to his more everyman, everyman vulnerability.
Yeah. If he were to catch that first one and not fall, it would have been too,
like,
perfect.
Shit, Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
reflexes and shit.
It's like a magic show. In magic, there's this too perfect theory.
Oh,
where
go about fucking magic again?
If okay, check it. If I float something.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm a fucking magician. You may not know that it's there, but you're thinking wire, invisible string, a fucking mirror, something.
Yeah.
However, if I use that same secret to make something move 2 inches across the table, it's now no longer a magic trick. It's more
magic truck.
Trick. It's more possible, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
But if you do something that's too perfect or too extravagant, it kind of sucks them out of the moment.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Fucking magic. God. Magicians suck.
Ooh, look at me. I can do a card trick. This is me in like every stealth game that I ever play.
Uh-huh.
Just waiting. I've spent more time standing still. Like, I've been replaying Batman Arkham Asylum. You spend a lot of time in vents in that game as well.
Have you played the latest Alien game?
Yeah, we touched on this when we did the Alien... watched Alien, remember?
Yeah.
And I still haven't gone back to it since we talked about that. So, last I saved the game, I'm hiding in the closet waiting for the alien to leave the room.
Oh, man.
And I haven't gone back to it. So, is this costume change here? It is! Holy shit! Wow, that is really obvious. All right.
He's not dirty. I mean, he's dirty, but that's not...
Yeah, that's a stretch.
It was still dirty white when he was in the vent.
Yeah.
You would think nobody noticed
that. Did he crawl
that?
Through the sewage in the time that we didn't see between here and there?
Yeah, apparently Homeboy is not that enjoyable at DP because he should have caught that. DP is supposed to be super enjoyable.
Talking about DP, that is a messy shirt. All right.
It's only messy if you don't clean up beforehand. Don't go inside of the guard, bro. He's going to murder you.
Your shot glass here. You have the disgruntled clown.
Yeah, buddy. Cheers.
Oh, 1 second.
Oh, we got to do our photo. You also take pictures of food before you eat, don't you?
Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Clinky clink.
Ooh.
It tastes like black jelly beans.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't even taste like real licorice. It tastes like black jelly beans.
Oh, I can already tell it's going to be a mistake tomorrow.
It was good. It was way good, better than the fucking Kahlua from last week or the tequila.
You can tell now why the bottle disappears so quickly. It's very Moorish.
Yeah.
That's why I say, don't let me do more than two.
I could drink that whole bottle my damn self. Like 118 pounds, so it might kill me, but... Well, Marco, your homie's dead now.
Oh, here's the shot where he, this is what we're talking about. Yeah, watches McClane shoots the guy through the table and just look at his, like, because you get a good solid shot where on his face when he fires like four or five shots, and just watch Bruce Willis's face and just imagine. Like his hearing going with every single pull of the trigger. Good advice.
He does not look like he's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Wait, what is your favorite moment? Is it Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
No, it can be, actually, only because I have such fond memories of that. I do also like the part where he jumps out of the building while it explodes on the fire hose and kicks his way into the building again. I might go for that one just because it's a little further down. But I do have a very fond story of the Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker part.
Yippee-ki-yay, monkey funker.
Is that the version you've heard?
I think so, yeah.
I'll tell the story now. In the UK, the first time I saw this, I forget why I recorded this or why I watched it. It's so good. all the words, all the curse words. When I first saw this film, they censored it on the TV, of course. I don't know, did they say fuck any other time? It's certainly not as noticeable as it is when he says Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, which is the classic catchphrase that appears now in every single film. When it was censored in the UK, he says Yippee-ki-yay, kimosabi.
What the fuck does that have to do with
anything? I don't know what that word means. Like, we should probably look it up.
Because
when you censor something, typically you try and find words that look like what the mouths are already saying.
Yeah, like, I get motherfucker to monkey fighter, funker.
Mother
I get,
Fletcher, yeah.
Yeah.
Mother Hubbard.
I get all that, but kimosabi?
Kimosabi, yeah. And watching him say it, and also, I don't think that guy is Bruce Willis that says that line as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really fucking jarring, because he's like, his voice is a little bit higher than Bruce Willis's is that whole conversation. And it's just the way he kind of like, when he says it, he's kind of like backing through a door and disappears. So it's like, the jarring difference between his voice is just way more pronounced. So I do love that scene just for that reason, because every time I watch the real version, I'm just, all I'm thinking is Yippee-ki-yay, kimosabi. It's like, that's not threatening at all. Like, what the fuck is that?
I think it was on Netflix. Maybe wrong. I don't know if it's I know that voice, because I know that voice is about the voice actors.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that the one that also has the the overseas actors, right? There's another documentary there that has that talks about like overseas voice actors.
Stuff.
Yeah,
different documentary, I think.
And how like there's one actor that does all the dubs for this American act. There's like three Asian people that do like all the dubs for these three specific actors, no matter what movie it is, and has been that way for like 20 years.
Well, that makes sense, because if you're viewing it over there and you see that actor pop up in so many things, you expect them to sound the same every single time.
Yeah, so
it's kind of cool
when you're doing it like in your like local like language. Yeah, of course you need that voice to match. It was just really fascinating.
I can see that.
I'm the voice. I don't remember who the actors were, but they were always like really big, like A-lister actors that look nothing like the voice actors. But
right.
You don't need to look like anything to be a good voice actor.
No.
Just to fly in the ointment, Hans. C4.
Yeah, I've seen some really funny dubs on. It's coming up here, actually. I'll try not to talk over it when it comes up. But I've seen some really funny dubs. I've seen The Hangover dubbed in the UK on American television, which is really fucking weird because like they don't just like they do have a really weird way of censoring it. They like that scene where in the gas station and they're talking about the guy's wife having sex with someone on their cruiser or something, and he's like, and if you must know, he didn't even come inside her. That's his justification for oh, here we go. I think. Like, the way he whispers it is so good. Like, it does not work when he's like, yippee-ki-yay, Kimasabi. Like, in that high little tone there. It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that in The Hangover, is the line is like, and he didn't even come inside her. I was watching it on TV, and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something, and I hear Ed Helms go, and if you must know, she didn't even like it.
Like, that sucks.
Yeah, and I'm...
that's a totally different joke. That's not even quite a joke.
Yeah, it's like, why even keep that in there? Now, you would think it's probably smarter just to cut that joke out. However, I've also seen There's Something About Mary aired on TV at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And let me tell you, when you cut jokes out like that instead of just redub them, the movie's about 45 minutes long. So...
Did they cut out the cum hair?
I can't remember. I caught like 20 minutes of it, which is like 50 minutes of the full movie, you know. And it's the scene when they're like, they bust in on Lee Evans and he's the pizza guy, Norm, and kind of bust like his chops on that, you know. He's like, I'm a fucking pizza delivery boy and whatever. And like, so much of that scene is cut out. Mm-hmm. Every, you know, you're telling me that this fuck and that fuck, fuck. Like, it's like, there's no explanation of what's going on in that movie. Like, that's the exposition scene, and there's no exposition in it.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta cut your losses and let that shit air so you don't miss a bunch of stuff.
If you're gonna edit it so heavily, why air the movie at all at that time?
Yeah, I was reading recently that that Saving Private Ryan was not going to be released in Thailand due to violence. And then he's not the prime minister, but the equivalent of like the prime minister or the president of Thailand. They requested that Steven Spielberg edit the movie. And Steven Spielberg, obviously, he's a Jew with a Holocaust movie. Fuck that. So he decided to not air it. And then their like president or prime minister or whatever actually watched Saving Private Ryan, thought it was amazing, and then let it be released in his country with no cuts. That's cool. Yeah. If they don't want to cut their movie or change shit, they probably don't want to change it or cut it for a reason. Yeah, Marco was a punk-ass bitch, though. Maybe he shouldn't have been being a bitch carrying his bag full of all that useful shit. Maybe you could have sent Hans. Maybe you could have sent any of your guys. But phony IDs don't cost a fortune. I mean, maybe when gas was 78 cents, everything else is more expensive. But a good phony ID will cost me like $100. And I don't even have to leave my house. You know that? You can order like fucking IDs and passports and bullshit that'll like fucking on the internet. You ain't even got to go anywhere.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, bro, you didn't even have to go to the Silk Road. Like, that shit is, like, legit and findable on Google. I don't even need to go to, like, the website that they sell, like, cheese pizza on. Yeah! Fucking Etsy. Don't get me started on that shit, man. I feel like Etsy is one of those things that has... okay, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I feel like people attach
a lot of emotional value to things that are handmade and therefore price them way higher than they need to be priced.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't understand this emotional attachment because for fucking years things have been handmade and you didn't give two shits. But if you buy it on the website named Etsy, all of a sudden you're willing to spend fucking $500 for a tiny little Lego minifigure made of polymer clay. Are you fucking kidding me? Just because it was handmade.
I don't use Etsy too much.
Yeah, occasionally artwork, something occasionally, awesome is on Etsy.
Artwork is reasonably priced.
Yeah, the Barbasol containers from Jurassic Park you can find on Etsy for only a couple hundred bucks.
But you say only a couple hundred, and that sounds like more than you should be paying for what is basically somebody drilling open a Barbasol can and putting some test tubes in, right?
Okay, no, but they're not, though. You're drilling out the bottom of Barbasol can so you have the casing, but really what you're paying for there is the actual, like, machined aluminum that holds all the little test tubes.
Okay.
In order to, like, properly make one that's screen accurate of the movie,
right.
At one point, somebody, you gotta know a dude that can, like, put things on a lathe and machine metal well.
Okay.
You know, like, but for the most part, it's not accurately priced. It's priced due to emotional investment and not what it's worth based on the materials and the time put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sorry. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but all you motherfuckers that are spending a lot of money on Etsy are wasting money.
I find a lot of shit on Etsy that I love, but I would not pay nearly the price that they're asking for.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, yeah, it's handcrafted and everything, but...
But a lot of that stuff, you could handcraft your damn self.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a shitty thing, but I love going on Etsy just to get ideas and then make it myself.
Absolutely. And then you can put emotional investment on it because you made it.
It's like this couch made it. Got it from IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
I love it a lot more than if I just bought a couch because I put it together
with
my hands.
Yeah.
All these bookcases. Man, I love these bookcases. Put them together.
Are they all IKEA?
Yeah, for the most part.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of like, yeah, you get that emotional investment. Plus, it's also like a big jigsaw puzzle. I don't like jigsaws.
Also, unpopular opinion, I'm tired of girls using their period as an excuse for when they're shitty to other people.
Shifting gears entirely.
I get, yeah.
While we're bitching about shit as men, let me talk about periods for a second.
Yeah. It sucks. I get it. And it's got to be like a really, like, it's something that's very unpleasant to go through. Okay. But, and I know this isn't the same thing. But I've had the fucking flu before. I've been really sick and felt like shit and didn't want to deal with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I still was not a fucking cocksucker to other people. And I just feel like if you're feeling bad, that is not a valid excuse to be rude or mean to friends or loved ones that are just trying to help out. I'm just saying.
It's fair.
It may be an unpopular opinion,
I'm not going to...
It's only unpopular because all you other motherfuckers are scared to say something. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I like sex, and I'd like to have some more before I die. So I'm gonna...
But you can, and I've been around your wife when that's going on, and she was never fucking mean or bitchy to me. You know, like you live with her, you have to deal with that shit.
Is what it is. So.
Yeah, but
she takes it all out on me.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about girls that are just bitches in public, and then they're it's my period. Don't worry about it. Yeah. No. God. And karaoke is only fun because everybody sucks.
Just get it all off your chest, Carl.
Just
get it all out now.
I'm serious, though. Karaoke is
send out the bat signals. Da-da-da-da.
I don't go to karaoke because I want to hear like the next person that I'd rather hear on the radio.
That's what CDs are for.
Yeah, I go to karaoke for the same fucking reason that people buy tickets to NASCAR. Yeah, you want to see a good race.
The
you don't want to see anybody die, but
yeah.
You definitely want to see some fender benders.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't wish death upon...
As long as nobody gets hurt, it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
That is ominous. way to set the mood.
Oh, shit.
You're good.
Sorry.
No, it's good. No, you're fine. So yeah, my favorite moment will be when he jumps out of the building with a fire hose. Not for a while. Like, this is a long movie. It's like 133 minutes.
God damn it, I did it again. I'm going to move all this off of the... There we go.
It was all in the crack of the couch, so I kept pulling the electronics off. So I'm wearing...
Goddamn crack problem, Carl.
Yeah, right? It's all that fucking heroin. I'm joking. I don't actually... you smoke
heroin,
He doesn't actually have a heroin problem.
He has it under control. So
yeah, yeah. I only on special occasions and days it in with Y. Yeah. So I'm wearing my beanie today.
Although you've taken it off now, you say that.
Well, yeah, yeah. I took it off and then I remembered that I was wearing it and why. So I've got a show that I got to do tomorrow, and I haven't dyed my hair in a couple weeks. So I dyed my hair, and then this morning I woke up and I went and got a haircut and like did adult things and got home at like 3 p.m., 4 p.m. I was home for like 5 minutes and had to rush out to Star Wars because fuck yeah, let's go to the theater goddamn 2.5 hours early because that makes sense. But
yeah.
after I got my haircut, during that 5 minutes that I was at the apartment, I went into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. And on the back of my head, it's kind of dark in your living room, but on the back of my head, I have one line that the dye just did not get to, and so it's this like light brown color.
You got a little racing stripe back there. Nice.
Yeah, so I realized that, then I was like, shit, I have to go in public. If it was something wrong with me in front, I could make eye contact with people and make them feel awkward for making me feel awkward. But behind, you don't know if somebody's like leaning over and telling the person and like pointing at you.
Look at those fucking
eyes. Yeah, so I figured if I didn't wear a beanie, I'd be self-conscious all day. And I wore it, and I was still self-conscious.
I can't imagine you getting self-conscious about anything, considering that your show consists of you dropping your trousers and tying a bowling ball to your penis.
But that's my face is painted, so like it's like a mask,
okay.
You know. But like, but I wore this beanie, and then even though I knew it was covered, I kept like pulling the back down. I kept on being self conscious all night. It was embarrassing, bro.
I don't know. Like,
I'm a four asshole.
Do you always have many people staring at the back of your head?
See, I don't know. I
would
answer
this question carefully.
I would like to think no. I would like to think no, but realistically, I'm just paranoid enough to think, fuck yeah, people do all the time. That Asian guy, he looks super ethnic, but he's probably from Compton.
He's a smart cookie. He's the principal in Breakfast Club, right? This movie has a lot of 80s authority figures. You've got you got Carl, you got this guy, the fucking reporter is the guy with no dick from Ghostbusters.
If I have to come back in here again, I'm going to crack some skulls.
Man, you could probably, if you edit all of their extra footage into this movie, be a very different movie. Like all those guys shouting at the antagonists instead of this one where they're all kind of pussies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's see that. Let's see him on the. Let's see him speaking into the radio. If I gotta come in there, I'm gonna crack some skulls to the terrorists. And fucking William Atherton's character just screaming at the Ghostbusters, but just editing footage of Hans Gruber and everything.
So I just watched that Puss in Boots movie.
The DreamWorks one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Welcome to 2012, man.
Yeah,
it's going to be a great year.
It was interesting.
There's so much to look forward to in the next 4 years compared to now.
Yeah. The only thing that I gathered from that was I want someone that more talented than me needs to take all the wet Puss in Boots or sad cat eyes Puss in Boots footage from that and the Shrek movie and add In the Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan over the top of it.
Okay, send you footage of wet puss. Got it.
always. Wow, that was...
And Batmobile's rolling in.
Uh-huh. It's like a weird cross between the Batmobile and the armadillo from Armageddon.
Yeah. Also starring Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh.
Did I tell you that story of... I think I told that story of...
You know Bruce Willis?
No. What if... Just destroying all the... It's their building. Fuck it. of Armageddon, where we, because that movie came out, was it 99? We were in high school at that point. We had French classes where we just learned French. It was one of the last days of the class, and me and my friend Tom, we put together, because we had the DVD, which had the French soundtrack with French dubs. So we recorded that onto VHS with English subtitles and brought that into French class. We spent two whole French classes just watching Armageddon in French, just so you could learn how to say things like "I blew the tranny" and shit in French.
I would love to know how to say "I blew the tranny" in French.
It would come in handy when you go on tour, I think.
Yeah, at least telling people what the fuck I was up to the night before.
There's a shot coming up here where like the front of the building blows up, and I was watching out, because it's not these things. These guys are about to run away because, yeah, he ties all this shit to the chair. There's a huge flash coming from the front of the building. How they accomplished that is they bought like every single flash bulb for cameras in the LA area and strapped all of them to the front of the building and then just fired them all off at once.
Wow.
That is ingenuity.
Yeah.
So I want to see, I read that and I want to see how it kind of, Geronimo Kimasabi. I want to see how it comes out. Yeah, they kind of add in some fire effects and everything, but
you can definitely tell like the flash.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that. Oh, yeah, now all you motherfuckers got to take the stairs. That's a really tall building, though. Like, that's... Taking that journey up or down those flight of stairs would definitely put you not in fighting position.
Yeah. Lens flare. There's a Die Hard game. There was a Die Hard game, Die Hard Trilogy, on the PlayStation, where Die Hard 1's game was basically an above perspective, third person shooter, where you would just basically move from floor to floor and take out the terrorists. I'm now thinking about it, it's kind of like gameplay wise, it was basically Pac-Man with a gun. Like, it was pretty fucking straightforward, but you'd start on the first floor and you'd move up and up and up. And I'm trying to think how many fucking levels there were. There must have been about 90 levels, I guess, if it was every single floor in the fucking game.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Now that we have, like, good game systems and shit, I would totally play a Die Hard game. That was more realistic and awesome.
I mean, I would imagine it would just be another Call of Duty, honestly.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Some of the set pieces and everything.
Give Hans Gruber a little more, guys. Yeah, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief on that.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Willis don't give a fuck. Now this is funny, because this sounds to me like how Bruce Willis actually acts now that he's a Hollywood elite, you know?
Yeah.
If you like Bruce Willis, right?
Fuck yeah, bro.
Have you ever seen read what's the first one? Have you read Kevin Smith's books?
Uh-uh.
Kevin Smith has a couple of books out, written because he directed, have you seen Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan? He has a couple of books written before and after that movie. Because Kevin Smith is also in Die Hard 4. He plays the warlock in the big exposition scene. He has a couple of books written before and after that movie, before and after Cop Out. Tough Shit is written afterwards. My Boring Ass Life is like a diary that takes place kind of around 2001 and stuff, and it leads up. It talks about Die Hard 4 at certain points as well. And he talks about his time on the set of Die Hard 4, because he was only there for a couple of, he was there for a day, apparently. But it turned into a 4-day thing, because when they, and he tells this story in a couple of his live shows as well. he turned up to set, and it was supposed to be all straightforward and done, but as the recording went on, Bruce Willis kept stopping, because he had questions to ask. He's like, well, this doesn't make any sense, or why would my character do this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to stop for, like, fucking, like, hours at a time to, like, satisfy Bruce, because he was the guy on set. He's the only guy who's been involved in all 5 Die Hard movies.
Mm-hmm.
He and his big thing was like the scene with the warlock in Die Hard 4 is the exposition scene. So everything they've kind of had a question about or a problem with, that's something that they were just kind of, oh, we'll answer that in the warlock scene. So all this stuff, it became like a dumping ground for information. And they weren't, and as they were kind of recording it, they were like, this doesn't make sense or don't want. So Kevin Smith being a writer, he's like, he like puts his hand up, he's like, hey, if you give me like 30 minutes and a laptop, I can fix this scene. Like, so he goes away, brings back some new pages, you know, and his 1-day stint turns into like a 3-day thing by the time it's all done. And but they start recording this stuff, and then apparently Fox aren't happy with the pages, but Bruce likes them. And there's more fucking stalling and deliberation while that's kind of going on, and there's phone calls going back and forth from the set. Kevin tells a story where, like, the most badass moment he's ever seen Bruce Willis, like being Bruce Willis, is when he's on the phone with Fox. He takes the phone call from the producers or whatever, the executives at Fox, and he's talking to them, and they're saying like, we don't want these pages, you need to rewrite them, you need to change this, blah blah blah. And Bruce is trying to fight them. He's like, I think this works, blah blah blah. And then he's like, all right, let me ask you a question. Who's your second choice to play John McClane? That's what I thought. Click. And they record the scene as it's written.
Hell by yeah. Kevin.
And Kevin's there like, holy fucking shit, this guy.
Like, Bruce Willis just went to bat for me.
Yeah. That, I just saw John McClane fucking, you know, like that scene just there. He's like, put the other guy on the phone.
Yo.
But as funny as that story is, you then need to read the book or listen to, he tells it in his Tough Shit book, but also Too Fat for 40 is his live show. It's a birthday show. That was after he filmed Cop Out and he'd worked with Bruce Willis. He wasn't the director for Die Hard. He was just on the set, and it was a lot more casual. When he went to Cop Out and he was actually directing the guy, man, Bruce Willis did not want to be there, it turns out. And it sounds like fucking like Vietnam for film directors working with Bruce Willis from that. Like, it's so, like, it's two wildly different views of Bruce Willis reading each of those different books.
But, I mean, okay. Did you like Cop Out?
I enjoyed it, honestly. I thought it was funny. Okay. I love Tracy Morgan, especially after 30 Rock. It's
See,
a funny script.
I was not really a big Tracy Morgan fan until recently. Like, and when I say recently, I mean, after the crash and the fact that he's working again, I'm like, okay, I'll give his like old shit a chance, you know.
It's a fun movie.
It's a movie I don't like. I'm not gonna shit on it because I don't like hate it.
It's not. It's no Die Hard. But
yeah, like
it's a fun movie.
Yeah,
it's clever. It's funny. It's well written, I think.
There are movies that I legitimately hate and have, like, angry feelings about. That is not one. It's just, meh.
It's harmless.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
There's a lot of movies that I could do with or without seeing. It wouldn't really matter to me.
But when you hear the story of like the making of it,
now you want to see it just to see if you can tell.
Yeah, the stuff he talks about, it's so... Like, when you watch the movie and you're like, oh, I remember that scene. Oh, that's why Bruce Willis doesn't actually say anything. It's because he didn't like any of the lines and decided to just tear up the script.
Yeah, you see, behind-the-scenes stories like that, like, make it actually... Like, in the original Night of the Living Dead, in the basement where the one dude, like, bites into that girl's neck.
Yeah.
And the scream from her sounds amazing.
Uh-huh.
Because when they were filming that scene... They had, like, the big foam latex appliance on her rigged with blood, and it was going to tear off. And the actor just has a really big mouth, and he bit through the foam latex appliance and legitimately bit this bitch on her neck.
Oh.
And it's, like, a real scream. And so, like, you go back and watch the original Night of the Living Dead, and you're like, oh, that was good acting. No, it wasn't.
No. It's reaction right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I didn't give two shits about the original Night of the Living Dead until I found out all the crazy... Like, behind the scenes, George Romero is pulling
it's
a movement out of his ass.
Yeah, it's not a real, like, it's a fucking amateur movie, honestly. It's his first movie, I think, right?
But it was proof of concept.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Zombies are still a thing and getting more, like, better ratings than anything else on TV right now.
Absolutely.
They're still down, like, a good percentage. But in the grand scheme of things...
They're not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, their ratings are down in comparison with themselves.
Yeah.
So...
It's good dialogue, man.
This is Carl Skeens, if we're all just saying names. Oh, God, that's such a good scene. The nine members of so-and-so, McClane's like, what the fuck? And then the blonde German guy's like, what the fuck? I read about him in Time, don't worry about it.
So there's another movie that does that same gag, another action movie, that's literally just trying to buy time, like get them wasting time looking for something that doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm. You know what's a really good movie? Inside Job or Inside Man. What is it called? With Clive Owen, where he's in the bank? Is that Inside Job?
Man?
Inside Man.
I don't know, actually.
It's Inside Something.
Who's the inside?
Right? Clive, I know who you could be inside. This snazzy little English guy to my left. That's...
Carl, I know who you could be inside, the snazzy English guy in Inside Man.
You know it. I mean, that little room had to get really boring.
Inside Man. With Denzel?
Yeah.
Do you like
yeah.
I love how you can say Denzel, and no one's like, Denzel who?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of
yeah. Because you fucking know.
Denzel Turkington?
Actually, Denzel showed up on Reddit recently. Basically, he was doing something in the past. He was doing some show this last year, and this little old lady that is the librarian in the town that Denzel Washington is from.
Uh-huh.
She has told like her kids and all like the local kids, I gave Denzel his first library card when he was a child, you know? So Denzel like ends up calling his mom and thinking it's awesome, and his mom's like, of course she says she knows you, everybody says they know you. And then like flash forward 9 months, he's back in that town. And he goes to go hang out with this 90 something year old lady just hangs out and talks to her and like holds her hand for like an hour. Like, way to go, Denzel, fucking Tom Hanks.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah. You just keep doing cool shit like that, and people will forever love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that dude's dead, because that dude's a fucking asshole.
Is he?
Ellis. They just pulled Ellis out of the
office. Okay, I got you. Right. I thought you were talking about fucking the principal there for a second.
Ellis doing all that coke. You should have passed it off to somebody else, man. You're dead. It was a waste.
Don't hog it.
Yeah.
Oh, Agents Johnson & Johnson. No relation, of course. Too polite to say anything, but we all know. This is the bad guy from the Goonies. Like, all these bad guys from the 80s movies.
Yeah.
Popping up in these minor roles.
I forgot he was even in this.
Yeah. I mean, he gets blown up in the helicopter, right? He doesn't have much screen time, but... And then, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, do you know the scene where he gets told that it's Hans Gruber's brother? He's in the van with a couple of FBI agents or something.
Mm-hmm.
They are also Johnson & Johnson, no relation. Like, how many Johnsons? I think there's a Johnson in 5 as well. Johnson from the FBI.
If that is not a running gag in all of them.
I think it is at that. But I think by 5 it is a running gag, because I think Bruce Willis gives this really deadpan look when he gets told that he's like Agent Johnson FBI or something. He's just like, really? Like, his eyes say it all. So this was a couple of interesting facts about this scene. Are you ready to learn? Take notes.
Is he wearing a different shirt again?
I don't know.
Is it back to really dirty white and not...
I don't know.
Brown with a little bit of sweat tinge on it.
I didn't see it. It definitely looks a little brighter on the side there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. That's another costume change.
Yeah. So don't tell me that's another shot. We can't do that.
No, hell no.
So, that scene where he jumps down, he hurt his ankle.
Is that why he's still on the ground?
Yes. And then when he stands up, he's off screen, he's on a splint.
Wow.
Because, that didn't go as well as kind of planned. Also, this scene was not rehearsed at all. I think it might be one of the first scenes they shot, just to kind of keep like the awkwardness between them and everything. It was not rehearsed at all. It was not even really planned until they hired Alan Rickman and they discovered what a good, like, convincing, or at least funny, American accent he can do. So... That's why it's in there, because they just wanted them to meet. They didn't have any scenes with them together until the end.
Uh-huh.
But they wanted to, like, when they saw his version of an American accent, they were like, saw an opportunity there.
I love it.
But they kept
Rickman.
It very they kept it unrehearsed, so that when it, you know, when you first go in, you have that spontaneity and convincingness to it.
Mm-hmm. And then, because nobody knew, it's Alan Rickman. Just put him in a scene, and the scene's going to be fucking gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, before he died, it was, oh, shit, Alan Rickman's in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, no matter how bad anybody else is in the movie, he can hold that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think what the worst movie is that Alan Rickman is in, and it's still a good movie because of him. Or he's still good in.
Okay, I really, really like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, but I understand it's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
And he's amazing at,
if he
cut
wasn't
your
in
heart
it,
out with a spoon. Why with a spoon? Because it'll hurt more.
If he wasn't in it, though.
If he wasn't in it, we just have...
There'd be very few redeeming parts of it, right?
Christian Slater and fucking Kevin Costner just phoning it in. Mm. Hey, do we need to do an accent? No, fuck it. Who cares?
How much are we even paid? That's not accent money.
Yeah. But I heard that he legitimately tried to do an English accent, and it was so bad.
They were just like, just stop.
Yeah, just stop. Do you.
I don't have a name. He's got excellent peripheral vision.
Yeah, he does.
But I like here that also John McClane does not truly trust him because he's going to give him a gun with no bullets.
Uh-huh.
Where's the second movie set? Is it New York or LA's airport?
It was snowing, so probably not LA. I don't even think it was New York. Was it New York?
Was it Washington, maybe?
I'm
trying to think, because he's a New York cop, and I remember, I seem to remember the third film being the only one where he really has any kind of jurisdiction.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'd like to have seen before Alan Rickman died is putting his different characters into different movies. So, like, putting Snape into this scene or something.
Oh, yeah.
With Bruce Willis.
Yo.
You know, there are circumstances where big people will come together for shit like that, either comic relief or the Academy Awards or something.
Mm-hmm.
Funny or Die, to an extent.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see people do that more often.
Did you see Walter White on SNL recently?
Yeah, I love that. It kind of got spoiled for me. I went in expecting him to turn up, but I liked the fact that he fucking did it. You know, I don't think he was in any more of the episode, but he turned up just to do that. That was kind of cool. Like, he's not too big for that or anything now.
Uh huh.
You know what I'd like to see, and I really hope when Walker Stalker Convention, which is the Walking Dead convention, when that comes back into town, I really want. I don't think Andrew Lincoln ever comes to those. I wish he does though, because I would like to see Andrew Lincoln and Lenny James, who plays Morgan, the black guy. I'd like to see him do some scenes from the show, but in their English accents. Just have like redubs of it, you know.
That dude just took like 5 shots to the knee. That shit was way more bloody and painful looking than I remembered.
That's his weak spot, though.
I'll aim for his weak point. Oh, so the window did slit his throat. Fucking Carl.
The subtitles we're watching say German. It's not German, though. Uh-huh. It's bad German, which is why he has to clarify right now in this guy's second language.
Because this dude doesn't actually speak German. Yeah.
So this is where we finally get, like, what are we now, an hour and a half into the movie, over, and we finally get the payoff to the whole, hey, take your shoes off and rub your toes into the carpet thing from the guy in the plane. But it's cool that there's a throwback to that so far into the movie that's now going to really kind of put him into a vulnerable position.
Yeah. But realistically, all that glass is laying flat on
the
ground.
Now this is what I wanted to bring up, because obviously you walk on glass as a staple part of your show sort of every week, every other week. So what's he doing wrong? Considering you're right. His glass is all flat, and your glass, you use like beer bottles. So you've got curvature and everything. Definitely more chance for it to dig right into your soul.
Yeah. And that's why I'm puzzled that this is such an issue, because all the glass is flat. You should be able to walk across that flat glass on flat floor barefoot, as long as you're not sliding your feet back and forth in the ground.
As long as you're not crunching your toes into the glass. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he should be able to heel walk over that shit and not cut himself or nothing.
Now, if he had to run though, have you ever run across glass?
I've tap danced in glass. I put my face in glass and have fat bitches stand on my head. he should have been fine. But honestly,
so what you're saying is you're more qualified to take out terrorists in a skyscraper.
Oh, you mean fake terrorists? Fuck yeah.
Bank robbers, I'm sorry. Bank robbers would go.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as there's broken glass, bro, tag me in. Tag me in. Oh, and we're back to the tan shirt.
Man, he's got more costume changes than Lady Gaga.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and way too much blood.
Yeah, like, you don't fuck yourself up to that.
It looks like he cut, like, a femoral artery, and he's just dripping blood out of his pants. Doesn't look like a foot, like...
Somehow he got his, like, thigh on the glass
or
something.
Yeah, 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 because that's damn sure... I have lacerated the fuck out of my feet. Uh-uh, not like that.
So, rumor has it that,
Rumor has it that...
Do you want to answer this?
I got it.
Okay. Rumor has it that this scene was why... Oh, fuck, what's his name? There's a movie that he was... that Bruce Willis was... that he was taken into... I can't use my phone. Terry Gilliam cast Bruce Willis in 12 Monkeys based on this scene because the rumor has it that he kind of improvised a lot of his dialogue during the scene where he's pulling out the glass from his feet. That is also bullshit. If you compare the scripts, it's pretty similar to what was initially written.
You're going to have to tell me that whole thing again.
Yeah, good, don't worry. Also, just like The Hobbit, he's using rubber shoes that kind of look like feet. Which is why his feet looks huge in a couple of scenes. That does not apply... I would not assume that applies to the rest of him. So, if you follow that rule, don't get too excited or horny. You know what? I'm not going to tell the story. You'll just have to listen to this.
Of course I'll listen to it. Then we have one download.
Yeah. we just missed him saying that he shot a kid.
Oh.
That classic line.
I like to imagine that was Urkel. Because he fucking deserved it for at least like two seasons.
Right. Have you ever seen... Do you watch The Cleveland Show at all?
Yeah, bro.
Have you seen the Die Hard parody of the... Yeah. In this? I love, that's kind of one of the reasons why, aside from the whole Mythbusters thing where they kind of prove, yeah, you cannot jump out of a building tied to a fire hose and expect it to work like a bungee and kick into the thing. I love that scene also because of the version of The Cleveland Show where he smashes through the glass, lands in the bathtub, which then starts sliding towards the window. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
But also the end of that parody... You know, where you got the guy in the body bag fucking pops up and he's going to kill John McClane. And then this character, the cop, shoots the terrorist dead. But then he pan across to a kid eating an ice cream and then the kid gets shot. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, I told you, I shoot kids.
Oh, God. See, but I know Mythbusters said you couldn't, like, bungee out on a fire hose, but yeah. Mythbusters also said the bullet catch could not be done for real, so...
Well, here you go.
I love me some Adam Savage, you know?
I think, actually, no, technically, I think their bullet catch was saying you could not catch a bullet in your teeth.
Yes.
Which is true, correct?
Yeah, but I feel like that when people are arguing with me... about you're just a magician and it can't be done for... That is their argument that they bring out. And I always
Mythbusters said... Burr, burr, burr.
Yeah, well, Mythbusters said this. Well, Mythbusters did bad science. They do science, but...
Mythbusters is an entertainment show.
Yeah, you only have to, like, have to think of, like, one or two tasks and then make a big boom, you know? Mm. Like, when you're actually doing, like, real science, you have to do... a bunch of different things and you have to keep trying, you know, like
I remember science class.
I'm all about Adam Savage on Tested. Mythbusters is not my shit.
No. Mm-mm. Man, this is the second most iconic use of Ode to Joy outside of Peggle.
Oh my God, I love Peggle.
Right.
Got me hooked on Peggle, bro.
Getting that little ball into the back, and getting that last peg and setting off Ode to Joy is one of the greatest feelings in any video game.
Yo, all I have is the demo of Peggle on the Xbox.
That's all you need, man. You still got that song that plays at the end every time.
I would willingly pay for it, though. It feels so good. What the fuck do they have a Dega in their vault for? Like a real Dega the painter that painted all the ballerinas over and over and over.
You're talking culture to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Talk about Star Wars.
In movies, when people like open vaults and there's like a very well-known piece of like art in there, you're like, what the fuck are they doing? Yeah, it's... How the fuck do they have that there?
No, the other one. Do I sound black to you?
Look at Johnson's skin. Mm-hmm. He looks like he had like really terrible acne when he was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And then turned it into a character actor career.
This is my thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He is intimidating looking. Christopher Walken in most movies he's in is just a scary looking man.
Yeah. Like, it's the eyes though with him.
Yeah, he looks like if you say the wrong thing, he's going to have one of his guys murder you.
Yeah.
Like, this guy looks like he could have been one of the local Baltimore residents that they hired when they were making The Wire. How they hired, like, a bunch of real drug dealers and...
So besides watching Rogue One, what'd you get up to today?
I woke up. I ran to the Ripley's corporate offices to go pick up a few things that I forgot the last time we were shooting. Found out that the last video of my contract with them gets turned in tomorrow, so it should be coming out tomorrow.
Cool. Okay.
And
what should people look for?
Ripley's, believe it or not, it's their Christmas video. There's like a Santa Claus, there's a, it'll be
right.
Weird.
This is what you sent me the picture of, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did that. I went to the Carmine Boutique. My friend James owns an oddity shop here in town called the Carmine Boutique. They have human skulls, bunch of random bullshit. I picked up some soap. They okay. have soap that is made into a Ouija board or a planchette. I picked up a few bath bombs. They have a bath bomb called the Eye of the Beholder, and you drop the bath bomb into your bath, and it turns all the water red, and then once the bath bomb is fully dissolved, there is a glass eye lightly used, which is why it's called the Eye of the Beholder.
Makes sense.
And then there's also one that they just started carrying that is a black bath bomb that has tiny little tarot cards in it. And the idea is you drop it in, it turns all the water black, and then you give yourself a tarot reading in the bath depending on when all the cards float up, which ones are face up and which ones float. Which, I don't believe in anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. But if you buy into tarot cards, you will absolutely buy into tarot cards,
Yeah, and also if you're someone like me that's in the I'm in the sideshow industry, like I'm all about like the severed heads and real shrunken heads, not the tourist jobbies, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool, and they have got me and my business partner planning a séance there.
Ooh, okay.
But not basically a séance like you would expect séances to be based on movies, not what actually happens in séances.
Okay.
I don't have to be the medium. We're actually putting a medium here in town that is a performer and also does like readings and shit. That's really super voodoo, hot black chick married to a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She's the medium, and me and my magician business partner are the men behind the curtain. So books float off of shelves.
Okay.
Disembodied voices. They sell a trumpet in the store that was that a jazz trumpeter had in Memphis in the early 1900s, and he ended up getting beat to death and murdered with his own trumpet. They now have that trumpet at the Carmine Boutique along with the original police report.
that's the spirit, quote unquote, that we're supposed to be communicating with during the seance. So
okay.
we're doing all this bullshit based on an actual historical like event that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to buy a murder weapon, it's only $225.
Fair play.
Really cheap as far as like yeah. something with a cool story goes.
Yeah, definitely.
How was your day?
Mine was nowhere near as exciting, honestly. It could have been. I mean, I had work this morning. I work at a hotel around the corner. There's a big convention of people, coaches, like sportsy people. They all love to fucking run, apparently. So between the 2 minutes it takes me to drive from here to the hotel, I almost hit 8 of them on the road as they were fucking running.
Because
they don't wear reflective clothing at all. It's really ironic that they're all into fitness, but then come the evening, all they want is like takeaway pizza,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I went and I met somebody up to, I was going to sell something and I went to somebody I don't know. So I went to like a public parking lot to meet them. I got there, they were like 15 minutes late, and I saw some car kind of pull up and look at me a little weird, thinking they were like, are they supposed to meet me? They pulled over on the other side of the car park, and then I swear to God, I saw a drug deal go down, where another car, like 2 minutes later, another car pulled up, window to window, like fucking hands exchanged and everything. And I probably gave him pot or something, but I was the whole time I was watching like, oh God, please be the guy that's trying to buy my Pop Funko figures. Because like, I don't know how much weed $23 would buy you, but it's not the same as a little Iron Man bubblehead. So I was really hoping that guy had like missed me, pulled over somewhere else, and then some other random drug dealer has just kind of stumbled into him. He'd given them $23 and he'd just thrown them a bunch of pot or something.
God, how are you going to be that obvious? When my guy calls me, he'll call me and he'll be like, hey man, there's a lot of people outside. If you want to come and just jump out into the car, I'll bring you back in like 5 minutes. Like, don't be obvious.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how drug deals go down or anything.
Well, they're not supposed to go down like that.
Yeah,
I'm just
like
saying.
I'm a fucking amateur. Like, you know, I'm a fucking moron. I could still look at it and think, that's something fishy going on over there.
Yeah. So. Come on. Whatever happened to the handshake switch? It's so Italian. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, why don't people ever do that anymore?
Yeah.
What happened to... Why do you have to lean into somebody's window?
Yeah.
Yeah, but your helicopters are really fucking loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you think they're not going to notice the helicopters with the missiles on the side?
Now, in the day of Facebook, like, that would be immediately broadcast to everybody. Gunships flying that low to the city.
Oh, yeah.
The element of surprise is lost mm-hmm. on any kind of situation like this. Any kind of... what's the word where you're
there's no real element of surprise.
Yeah, anything like this where it's like a hostage situation or a stalemate or some kind of surprise kind of
It there was a time in the 80s where they would be saying, get the reporters away.
Yeah.
And now it's get the fucking normal people away.
Take the phones away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching a Facebook Live video recently where this dude was sitting in his living room and Facebook Living on TV a cop chase.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he just pans over.
And then like 30 seconds later, it's like, oh shit, it's going down my head.
Yo, that is so funny.
Have you seen, I think it's in Watch Dogs 2 actually, there's a guy that is playing Watch Dogs 2. He goes to a certain area of the city and then he pans from the TV to his window and it's the exact same fucking view.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
with the bay, cool. With the bridge and everything. And
like, I played a little bit of Syndicate before I went to London.
Okay.
And when me and Tyler were drunkenly walking through old London, I was like, I've run on the roof of that building.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate. You mean,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. It's...
it definitely makes you feel like a world traveler when you're not really a world traveler.
Mm. Yeah, you could walk around that place with experience. Like, I know, this is my house.
Well,
like,
even when the first one came out, I was living with a buddy of mine. I was the guy on the couch. Yeah. And he's Jewish and had just come, because, like, you know how, like, everybody that's Muslim, you're supposed to go to Mecca, you know, and every Jew, you're supposed to go to Jerusalem, like, once.
Yeah, sure.
He had just gotten back from Jerusalem, and then Assassin's Creed number one, like, literally just came out. And we're running through, like, some of these cities, and he's like, bro, he's like, that's there? That's actually in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's now a bread shop? I would love to sit down and play Syndicate with someone that actually has lived in London.
Like a 90-year-old person or something, like from closer to that time before.
Yeah, I mean, even...
Because you go around, you run around the Buckingham Palace area, and it's wildly different now.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. However, the Rockstar game that they put out that was, like, in the 1940s in L.A.
L.A. Noir, yeah.
Yeah, there is a video on YouTube where this guy had sat down with his father. His father was really old when they made this video, and it's just gameplay video with their audio, but his dad was a cop in L.A. in the 40s. And so it's this dude driving around in L.A. Noir with his dad, who was a cop in L.A. at this point in time. And yeah. I had no idea that that recreation of 1940s L.A. was so faithful.
Yeah, like, that is one of the more accurate representations of a city.
Yeah, just to hear a detective watching a detective game in the 40s in L.A. talk about, yeah, that's right. Just to get my dry cleaning from there.
Yeah. So impressive. Classic case of mistaken identity here, where John McClane trying to do the right thing and just cause a commotion to get people out of the building, off of the roof, has made him look like a terrorist. Whoops! That's what you'd ask yourself in this situation, right? Oh, what the fuck are you about to do?
Yeah, I mean, I slackline, and I ask myself that every single time, and I don't go any more than, like, 10 feet up.
Right.
So this, I would definitely be pissing in my pants.
Right.
Maybe
this is my a little bit of poo came out.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the movie. It was just the most kind of memorable shot for me, but also, I mean... Partly Mythbusters, partly Cleveland Show. Also, it's a fucking awesome shot. So, let's take a terrible shot to commemorate it. Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Oh, man. Have you watched the Honest Action? Not trailer, but, you know, it's like it's where they break down, like, exactly what would be happening throughout this movie if they did the actual shit they did.
No, but that sounds funny.
Yeah, it just follows the whole movie, and it tells you, like, every single time he's fighting with somebody, what he would fucking break, like his shoulder or his concussion or whatever.
Oh, it's are those the same people that did the Home Alone video?
It's the Screen Junkies, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Same, yeah, like this, like crushing ribs and shit. Just this, no. It's such a good gag.
Yeah. All those propane tanks on the roof. I like how that last scene, it lingers on there so long. You can see the fireballs going down to the pilot, like, lights on the propane tanks. Damn. Hey.
Like, this is a fancy floor of the building, and it's not even their lobby. Well, it's like the 60th floor or something.
I guess that guy's back in charge, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, every time in movies I see those sprinkler systems go off, and it's just spraying water, but the fire doesn't do anything, it just keeps burning.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck do they have sprinkler systems? You're like, I get why we have them in real life, because in real life they fucking work. But in movies, they don't work.
They don't seem to do anything.
No.
Hollywood is the only answer I have to that. I don't know. I got nothing else.
Bro, you're asking me a question that I just can't answer.
Yeah. I don't work in Hollywood. I'm not a terrorist. I have no qualifications to answer this.
And they just pulled that ambulance out of that box truck. I did not see that ambulance or an ambulance.
Yeah, considering that there had to be room for that and also, what, 12, 15 guys?
Yeah, and I didn't see an ambulance or an ambulance-shaped tarp in that truck when they got
out. Yeah.
I would be interested. I mean, we're not going to do it now, but I would be interested to... rewind and look at that.
I think we just shit on Die Hard.
Hey, Bruce Willis, it's all about you, man. It's all about you and Gruber.
Who cares about a fucking ambulance?
For real, man.
We'll give the ambulance a pass just because this movie is so awesome.
I'm willing to, any plot holes that this movie had. There are certain movies from the 80s I'm willing to give entire passes to just because the finished product is awesome.
Okay. What else is in that list then? I'm interested. What do you consider like a flawless movie from the 80s?
Well, none of them are... They're not, but that's my point, though. Even this movie is not flawless, but
okay,
Because it's such a good fucking movie, I'm willing to deal with the fact that it's not flawless.
Infallible is a better term, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, there's things wrong with it, but it's not enough to...
It's not enough to make me dislike the movie.
Yeah.
It's like Breakfast Club. There are so many little nitpicky things that I have about that movie, but overall, it's a really good 80s movie. Ferris Bueller. There's so many fucking plot holes in that movie from start to finish. Don't care, because it made us all love Matthew Broderick, and then we never loved him as much in anything ever after, ever. I mean, I know he's still working, and is he still married to Sarah Jessica Parker?
Probably.
He should have just gotten a horse. Yeah. But
The Goonies.
Yeah. The Goonies is a great movie, even though it's got some problems. It is still like one of the... It is the epitome of like 80s like kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
Had we not had the Goonies, a show like Stranger Things would have never been able to exist. Yeah, you know, like, movies like the Goonies prove that we can have a movie that all the leads are kids, and it's not going to suck or be a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no fucking excuse. The Goonies is great. Stranger Things is great. So why is everything that Nickelodeon and Disney Channel pumps out starring kids, why does it suck donkey dick? Yeah, Grace Kelly.
Good job, IMDb. Really won the day there. Oh yeah, watching this. Yippee-ki-yay, kimo-sabi. Like watching him say it super slowly in the ITV edit is hilarious.
That fucking lobby guy. What the fuck are you doing?
Where have you been this whole movie?
Yeah, if he would have stayed in the lobby.
You think you can share the scene with Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman?
Yeah. He's going to die. Bam. Fucking forehead.
Now, in the novel, it's his daughter that's in the building. And she dies in this scene. She gets pulled over with the bad guy.
Oh.
Like the daughter dies.
Like Last Action Hero with the little boy? Holy shit. Have we done Last Action Hero?
We did Last Action Hero. We talked a lot about Die Hard during it as well, so I feel this is a little redundant, but it's okay.
But Last Action Hero we only talked about Die Hard because they used tropes that Die Hard turned kind like, of made started. Tropes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so this scene, this shot here, shot it like, I don't know, 200 times or something. This is actually Alan Rickman falling. He fell about 30 feet onto a bag, but they dropped him early. They counted to three. They're like one, two, and then dropped him, which is why his reaction there is pretty damn convincing.
Uh-huh.
Not that shot where he fell actually onto, like...
But even dropping 30 feet onto a fucking bag is frightening as shit.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fucking far.
There's a feeling of self-preservation that you look down and you're just like, I don't need to go down there.
I look down like 8 feet and I'm like, I'm going to brace myself.
Yeah, I'll take the stairs.
Yeah. But, yeah, he fell like 30 feet and it was all set up like, stuntman was holding him, and the stuntman just dropped him on too.
Uh-huh.
What a dick move.
Yeah, what a cock.
And that's your first movie, and you're like, this is how it's going to be? Man, fuck this shit. I'm going back to theater in the UK.
Yeah. And honestly, for a, like, green screen background, it was not as jarring as some of the other movies that came out around this time.
I believe it a lot more than Phantom Menace.
There was only one matte painting, or one, I don't know if it was a matte painting, but there was one CG where he was looking over the edge. Mm-hmm. And I'm not
when
even
when he drops the chair down the explosion.
Yeah, that was jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
But even when he's dropping shit like down the elevator shaft, or when he's jumping through that way deeper than it was on the soundstage, like AC unit, like even that wasn't jarring.
No, it holds up pretty damn well. Honestly.
Yeah. You know what's gonna hold up great? Mm-hmm. Fucking Rogue One.
It's good.
Practical, bro. All the practical shit, man.
I swear, next Tuesday I'm going to go check it out.
As soon as you check it out, just fucking text me, because I really want to start these conversations, because I do have bones to pick.
Okay.
I have like three bones to pick with that movie, but overall, and again, that much like this, it was a good enough movie that I'm willing to not hate on it, and I'm going to give it a pass for the problems that I have.
Because she had so much fun watching it.
Yeah, it was no fucking Force Awakens, but it was a very valid Star Wars film.
Okay.
If they maintain that or do better for the Han Solo, Yoda, Boba Fett bullshit that they're talking about doing, sure. Then we're in good hands.
Okay.
Thanks, Disney. You haven't ruined my night.
Speaking of, we need to do Star Wars, which should come up pretty soon.
Yeah, but if we're doing Star Wars, we need to commit an entire day.
No,
we need to commit an entire day and just get through like three, and then the next time that we're able to commit a day, get through the next ones in the franchise. Oof.
Sounds like a gauntlet. God, this guy is the Terminator. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know he doesn't speak
like,
German.
Who could that be?
Yeah, but at this point,
it's Carl.
Fucking Carl. Oh, well.
And then I love, like, the Cleveland show does a great parody of this, where they just copy the shot for shot and then cut across to a kid with an ice cream and just shoot him.
Shot that weird ass fake German.
I told you, I shoot kids. It's so good, man. So good.
Oh, what's up? What's up?
This one's with me.
Yeah, okay. Did you just warn all the other cops? Because there's a bunch out there. I know that one black guy is not the only one with a gun. See, there's like three and that's in that like clip alone.
He's just the only one who's trigger happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he get punched in Ghostbusters 2? Or did he just get owned?
I can't remember. I think he may have just got owned, but...
Mm-hmm.
Good, because that's going to form my lawsuit before the second movie, where I file a restraining order against
Well,
her.
Now that would be a lawsuit. At this point in time, that would just be ratings.
Well, do you remember the second movie where he's, like, the only three return... Well, no, Carl returns, actually.
Uh-huh.
But it's him, and then his wife's on the plane that just so happens to be circling the airport. And who should be on the plane but also that guy? and he's like, I have a restraining order against her. I need to be kept, blah, 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 blah. Jesus Christ.
Well, what was your favorite part?
Man, I can't pick a favorite part. I picked a favorite part just because of like the extra external stuff that plays into this for me. But it's a solid fucking film. I cannot fault it. I dare you to shit on it any more than you that one point that you did.
Yeah. Okay. Aside from the one jarring effects shot.
Fuck off. It's 1988. You
can't
do that.
Aside from the costume change, which fucking rationalize that shit,
that
English
is,
man.
No, that is jarring.
Yeah, that was pretty...
There was no reason for that.
Yeah, but...
Let's find out who is in charge of continuity by watching the credits.
Yeah, no,
let's
fuck
watch
it.
All
continuity.
Of the credits.
No. No.
Let's watch all of the credits.
No.
Just for the sake of watching the credits. I know there's no after credits.
I to do that earlier
There's no
today.
After credits scene, but let's just watch the credits regardless.
I can't fucking do it. Charge. No.
Let's see who's in charge of continuity, and then let's just fuck them up, because...
Jesus.
That is the only thing you can nitpick on is the continuity errors.
Yeah, other than that, it's a fan... Honestly, my favorite part is the credits, and not because this movie sucks, but because this is the curtain going down on an amazing show that we just watched.
Yeah, absolutely.
Costumer to Bruce Willis, Charles Mercury. That's the motherfucker that fucked up. That's that asshole.
Oh, hang on.
I don't even think they cared about continuity at this point.
This is true.
I think that was just like a hobby. Oh, do we want to jump on continuity? Sure.
What? Yeah, let's make up what that word means.
Yeah, like now I feel like there are people whose entire job is to maintain continuity and like walk around.
Oh, no, it certainly is. Yeah, and then... God, if you fuck up, you will not hear the end of it in the age of the internet.
Yeah, but like at this point in time, I don't even think that was like that much of an issue.
Let's check it out. If there's somebody that's role was continuity, then they're going to take the fall. Otherwise, it's on that guy that you called out.
Yep. What's his face? Mercury. Yeah. Fuck you, Mercury.
I love this film, but I still think my favorite Die Hard movie is Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Honestly. Okay, but
I don't know why it is. I love it's. I think it's because it's you've got the awesomeness of Bruce Willis before he stopped giving a shit, but you've also got Samuel L. Jackson who always gives 110%, and it's a very smart script as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really fault the story in this one. I also can't really fault the story in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you?
This is my favorite out of all of them, followed closely by the second one.
Okay, the second one is really good as well. Like the first, if it was a Die Hard trilogy, like it was, you know, you could buy a Die Hard trilogy back in 2001 or something, and it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And then they made a fourth one, and that diluted it a little bit, and then the fifth one just took it out back and raped it.
Well, okay. Again, Bruce Willis is the best thing in that movie, but Bruce Willis is not Hans Gruber in that if the rest of the movie sucks, he can't just hold every scene with the awesome actor that he is. It's not like Alan Rickman who can just fucking do that.
And Jeremy Irons is great in Vengeance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Irons is actually, he's one of the best things in Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in it for like all of 4 minutes.
Fair. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We just have better actors than you guys, I guess.
I mean, I guess, but they always come over here and get houses here because it's fucking dreary and drab and smells like failure elsewhere. But here, it smells like money and trees and fucking fake titties. That's right. Would you rather live in a place that rains all the time and smells dreary, or would you rather live in a place that smells like fake titties and money
all the
time?
Fake titties on tap.
Thank you.
I'll take the fake titties. Okay.
Thank you. I'll take fake titties on tap every day, all day. You know it.
Okay. And on that bombshell, Die Hard. Thank you so much for joining us for our Big Gay Day. My name is Dave Mosley.
My name is Carl. I don't need a last name.
Join us next time, maybe for another Christmas movie. Who knows? Good night.